Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and it is my great pleasure to serve this joyful and imaginative congregation. And everyone is welcome here. You're welcome no matter who you love, however you express your gender, whatever your immigration status. You are welcome if you just came here for the first time today, or if you've been coming for decades. You are welcome here if your heart is heavy, and you are welcome here if your heart is joyful. And you are welcome if your body is heavy with the allergies from all that pollen that is covering our cars. And you are also welcome if you are embracing all of these gorgeous flowers and all those sprouts coming up through the still cold soil. So after service, we will have coffee downstairs, and there's coffee online, and I want to welcome everybody who's online this morning as well. And we just want to welcome all of our visitors. There's little pieces of paper on the back of the chairs that you can fill out. And there's so many activities happening in this congregation's ways to engage with people. And if you're getting our e-blast, you can look through that and find lots of ways to engage with people throughout the week. And so now we're going to take time to greet each other. And as is our tradition, I want you to share with people one of your favorite stories. And it might be a book, it might be a movie, it might be a television show, but all stories. And if you can't think of your favorite, just one you like a lot. And try to speak to someone you don't know. That's pretty fun. So greet each other. And if you're online, you can write in the chat.
Spirit says do. You gotta do. dance.
You gotta dance when the Spirit says dance.
Says do.
Spirit says do. Spirit says do. Spirit says do. Spirit says do. Spirit says do. Spirit says do.
You gotta shout.
You gotta shout when the Spirit says shout. You gotta shout when the Spirit says shout. When the Spirit says shout.
This morning, whose name I don't know.
Oliver.
Thank you, everyone. Is Oliver here to light our chalice? We do not have Oliver. Vincent, would you like to light our chalice? All right. So we light our chalice, which is the symbol of Unitarian Universalism. And we light our chalice this morning for imagination. In all the ways it has transformed our faith over the years. Let us say our affirmation together.
Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our eyes to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love ourselves and our neighbors.
Good morning. I'm Spencer Ehrman. My pronouns are he and him, and I get to help be a lay leader today. Our opening reading is a poem, A Prayer for Imagination, from Rosemary Watola Trommer. There are so many boundaries in me, so many limitations, prisons, places where a line has been drawn, perhaps by another, perhaps by me. The lines say, stop. The lines say, don't be curious. They say, make yourself small. Now smaller. But imagination is the big pink eraser that rubs out the lines, smears and disappears them. Sometimes it's more like a tear, a small rip in the known that bids me look through the lines as if peeking through a curtain. And sometimes the imagination takes a line and bends it, twists it, like a clown with a balloon, until what I thought was a boundary becomes a bird, becomes crown, becomes flower. Or it turns the line perpendicular so that what I thought was a deadline becomes a path. I want to listen for the voices beyond the boundaries. Want to open to what I can't yet see. I want to hear the welcome of the horizon and like a bell calling me home, let it lead me.
Come with me.
Yeah.
is a moment for gratitude and giving. I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. We are ever grateful for all the early stewards of this land, the Chinook, Tualatin, Kalapuya, and Malala peoples, many of whom live among us today. We acknowledge that this beloved land was once theirs, taken unfairly, and so commit to take actions to support Indigenous rights, land reclamation, and cultural equity. I invite our hosts to come and pass our baskets amongst us today. And as I look around this sanctuary, I see a community of loving, compassionate people. And I've carried that in my imagination for years. And so I'm so grateful that we get to share our gratitude amongst each other. So thank you for that gift. Thank you also for the gifts that you'll be sharing with us today, whether they be put in the basket or gifts of talent, your time, all of it matters to our community. Thank you all. Let us stay together. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
So I would like to invite any children who are here to come forward for our story, or you can stay in your seats as is comfortable. So the story this morning we're going to have is Dr. Seuss's Oh, the Things You Can Think. Oh, the things you can think. I need to actually see the words, so I don't know. Oh, you can think up some birds. That's what you can do. You can think about yellow, or you can think about blue. Thank you, guys. You can think about red. You can think about pink. You can think up a horse. Oh, the things you can think. Oh, the things you can think up if only you try. If you try, you can think up a guff going by. You don't have to stop. You can think about slop. Slop, slop. Beautiful slop. Beautiful slop with a cherry on top. You can think about gloves. You can think about snubs. You can think a long time about snubs and their gloves. You can think about Kitty O'Sullivan Krause in her big balloon swimming pool over her house. Think of black water and think of white sky. Think up a boat. Think of blogs going blowing by. You can think about night, a night in Nanoop. The birds are asleep and three moons are up. You can think about day, a day in La Duke. The water is blue and the birds are awake. Think, think and wonder, wonder and think. How much water can 55 elephants drink? You can wonder how long is the tail of a zonk. There are so many thinks that a thinker can think. Would you dare yank a tooth of the conch ringer fink? And what would you do if you met a jaboo? Oh, the things you can think. Think of Peter the postman who crosses the ice once every day and on Saturdays twice. Think. You can think anything that you wish. Think a race on a horse, on a ball with a fish. Think of lights. Think of bright. Think of stairs in the night. Think. Think a ship. Think up a long trip. Go visit the Vipper of Vip. And left, think of left, and think about Beft. Why is it the Beft always go left? And why is it so many things go to the right? You can think about that. Think left and think right, and think low and think high. You can think up if only you try. So now the children can go to our classes and everyone can sit up. Let us sing as and make arches as our children go to their classes this morning. Time to honor our joys and our sorrows. It is the weird conundrum of life that we always are holding joy and sorrow. And in this community, we help each other by celebrating the joys and holding each other in care through the pain and the sorrow. And one way that we do that is by during this time, the people who are having joys can come up and drop a stone in the water, and the people who are holding sorrows in their heart can drop a stone in the water for their sorrows. And I will be there, and if you wish to say one or two sentences about your joy or your sorrow, you are welcome to. And if you just want to drop a stone silently, that is also welcome.
I'd like to give gratitude for my niece and my nephew who are visiting, as well as their new baby, Finley, who is my great my great nephew, and for the love and care I can offer and share with them.
Flowers blooming right now, and a thought of sorrow for those of us suffering badly from allergies.
moment of gratitude for a memorial service that we had yesterday for a dear friend, Sharon Fursick, who'd been with the fellowship for forever. It was nice to be able to say goodbye to her, and she was just such an amazing woman, and she will be so missed, but she was just so positive. We wouldn't, she'd be mad at us for being sad.
Yes, this is for Sharon Persich. Listening to her twin sister speak brought her back into the room. She sounded exactly like her, and Sharon was a big part of me wanting to be part of this congregation, so thank you, Sharon.
I just wanted to wish, express a tremendous gratitude for a wonderful women's retreat. I came back a little bit prematurely, but it was just wonderful the last 2 days. Highly recommend it.
This is for my beloved uncle, who was just diagnosed with a rapidly moving terminal illness, and for his wife since they were 19.
I would also like to have a stone for Sharon Fursich, who really also made my ministry here possible with other people, but she was a big part of that. And I'd like to place a stone for all the people who are suffering in the world right now. It's really grown exponentially in the last few months. So. Now is our time for meditation. Somehow my iPad decided to shut. So we begin with these words. Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Reach out and touch what once was, just in your imagination. So I want you to close your eyes and imagine a place you just love. See that place. The details, small and large. Is there something you hear? How does it smell? Is there anything you can touch?
Slide. Here we go. Okay. Everyone.
I seek a spirit of a child. Children are really beyond all fear.
a poem from David Breeden. Imagination is the spirit freed to be herself, slipping the carbon cuffs of convention's false arrests. She picks the locks, a laughing Houdini magician of freedom itself. This is from Dr. Seuss. I like nonsense. It wakes up the brain cells. Fantasy is a necessary ingredient in living. It's a way of looking at life through the wrong end of a telescope, which is what I do. And that enables you to laugh at life's realities.
I love the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. The chorister sang one of the movie's most well-known songs this morning, Pure Imagination. How delightful that movie was as a child. All the candy and chocolate, flavors of all kinds, most of them created just for the joy of Willy Wonka and the Oompa Loompas. And all the magical inventions. And especially delicious and satisfying was the way each of those children got the perfect punishment for their annoying personalities. Oh, the things you can think. How I wished for such magic in my life. It seemed so dull by comparison, full of chores and school that was stultifyingly boring. I was like Charlie, steady and responsible, but always dreaming. I fed my dreams with books. Stories carried me away into other lives and ways of living, into dreams of all the places I could go. But still, my parents did not believe in television or in daughters who disappeared into a chair for hours and hours with only her eyes moving. So often I was pushed outside and my books left on the bedroom floor. And there, my brothers and I spent hours letting a hose flow so water carved rivers through the bare dirt around our houses and barn. We made dams that pushed water this way and that, making islands and new little streams. We floated sticks and leaves down the tiny rivers. We made towns on the islands and then flooded them so they disappeared. Other times we would make a witch's stew with puffballs that grew close to the ground among the meadow grasses. They satisfyingly released a dark powder when crushed. We played on the basalt rocks under the ponderosa pines. This one was a boat, another a house. Pirates were coming, bandits! We brandished branches that had fallen to the forest floor. I wrote plays that we acted out, with me, the older sister, providing bossy direction. And my parents sat patiently through what must have been excruciating dramas. Oh, the things we could think. I imagined, as a child myself, like Charlie, but maybe my childhood was a life of pure imagination. Not as fancy as that chocolate factory for sure, but still wonderful and truly life-saving for me. Mukunda Angula and his six siblings lived a life of pure imagination. Imagination, he says, saved his life. My childhood was a complete paradise compared to his. The children's father locked seven children and their mother into a four-bedroom apartment in New York City. They never went outside. Mukunda says they learned everything about life through movies. To entertain themselves, they recreated the movies word for word with sets made from cereal boxes and other discarded things. They learned art. And when they finally got outside, when Mukunda was 15, they continued to live creative lives. Oh, the things they could think. Writer Ursula Le Guin famously said, "I think imagination is the single most useful tool mankind possesses. It beats the opposable thumb." I can imagine living without my thumbs, but not without my imagination. And she imagined for all of us miracles and wonder that could change our minds, show us that hope's got something up her sleeve, something beautiful, something wonderful. All of us have imaginations. We use them every day. Imaginations lets us picture what is not there, as we did in this morning's meditation. Imagination allows us to falsely predict the future, but in small ways it might. If I don't turn my alarm on, I might miss my flight to Europe. We imagine and we start getting stressed by the very thoughts of what the future could be. And even though it happened decades ago, my imagination allows me to bring up images of my brothers and I covered with mud and intent on the game we called Waterworks. Most of us think of imagination as connected to creativity. And it is true, creativity is one of the manifestations of imagination, not all of them. But still, imagination was responsible for every novel ever written, every painting, every song, every movie, every video game. All of them came from imagination. Imagination is utterly responsible for human survival as a species and for civilization itself. With imagination, we can put things together in new ways and open up possibilities that live beyond the boundaries of now. Imagination is what takes the lines we accept as boundaries and opens up what is possible. It bends them and twists them like a clown with a balloon until the boundary becomes bird, becomes crown, becomes flower, or it turns the line perpendicular so that what was a deadline becomes a path. Imagination is the first people showing up in the Arctic and coming up with the idea of making houses of ice and hunting seals. All the big scientific, philosophical, and religious breakthroughs are acts of imagination. Copernicus discovering the Earth goes around the sun, Newton conceptualizing physical forces, Einstein seeing the theory of relativity. Somehow they imagined connections and explanations about what they saw in the world beyond the boundaries of what others had understood. Millennia ago, imagination gave us the first flutes and drums. Imagination really went to work when it came to food. Many somewheres, people imagined taking seeds of wild plants and bringing them to new places and carefully tending them. They imagined how they might take the seeds from the hardy plants with the biggest fruits and seeds and plant them the next year, changing the plants until the food was better, bigger, and made life easier. iPhones have nothing on that invention. Cooks across the world for millennia took the food that they had and imagined new cooking methods and ways to combine the flavors, and wow, how blessed are we by that. And tomorrow we get to celebrate one of the thousands of delicious cuisines. Yay to the Mexican cooks. Imagination has made everything possible in our lives today. In ancient Greece and Rome, people thought that the inspiration for creativity came from muses who appeared gracing the artist or inventor or writer with the new idea. the person dutifully brought it into being. When the Spirit said do, they did. Their process was trying to get that Spirit to visit. Interestingly, many artists, writers, and scientists, and others who imagine possibilities describe the process very similarly today. They are in the shower, dreaming at night, doing the dishes, and whoosh, there it is. Something they had not been able to see or hear or think before, something beyond the boundaries of ordinary experience. And they too believe the process is trying to get the Spirit to visit. Usually, for most of them, this means practicing. They work at whatever they work at. And then it is almost a prayer. I am here. Let me imagine something wonderful I could not have imagined before. Let the muse open a path through all the conventions of ordinary life. So writers write, scientists do experiments and grapple with theory, cooks cook, musicians compose, TikTokers make videos. Neuroscientists are trying to understand imagination through brain imaging. And they have some leads, some rough theories, but the basic takeaway is imagination happens using a lot of different parts of the brain, but no one really knows how it works. So maybe it is a muse after all. Our particular society depends on creating the new and different at breakneck speeds. At this point in the capitalistic system, this is absolutely required. We already really have everything we need. But money cannot be made that way. Instead, businesses must entice people with new or better stuff and experiences. Advertisers must sell with quick, creative, gripping stories. TikTokers yearning for likes must create new content regularly to hold on to their subscribers. We also need, rather desperately need, imagination to conceive new ways to be together as people that lead to both human and environmental flourishing. Unfortunately, at the same time, we are in a bit of an imagination crisis. While imagination is innately part of every person, our capacity to use it and grow it must be nurtured. And Western cultures are not doing a very good at that right now. Studies have shown that children are less imaginative than they once were. And since imagination is strongest in childhood, this is rather alarming. And experts point to a variety of causes, standardized testing, passive entertainment, such as television and digital media, and so many structured activities that impede imaginative play. Toys with a single way to engage them that leave little room for the imagination. The very good news is we can all become more imaginative if we work at it. It comes back pretty fast. So we can draw, paint, doodle, write, read fiction, get bored, daydream, try new things, change your routine. Some suggest that even small things help, like brushing your teeth with the wrong hand, or driving a different way to somewhere you go often. Meditate, and you can sign up to do that with what you don't have to sign up. You can do that with other woofers on Wednesday mornings, and all the details are in the e-blast. You can play with kids if If you don't have kids, you can sign up to help in the nursery. Tell your stories. We have chalice circles and men's and women's groups where people share their stories. Do simple, repetitive tasks like walking and cleaning and weeding. Your body is active, but your mind can wander. Listen to music. Spend time in nature and look at the color blue. Somehow blue makes us more creative. Go figure. Change your perspective. Change up your metaphors. All of us imagine as we remember our past or consider things that might happen in the future. Sometimes imagination is not that helpful. Worrying, after all, is a form of imagination. But so often, imagination is such a joy and such a pleasure. It can open up our lives, as Rosemary Wetola Tromer reminded us in this morning's poem. There are so many boundaries in me, so many limitations, prisons, places where a line has been drawn, perhaps by another, perhaps by me. The lines say stop. The lines say don't be curious. They say make yourself small, now smaller. But imagination is the big pink eraser that rubs out the lines, smears and disappears them. One of my favorite examples of this comes from the world of Harry Potter. In one magic spell, a person conjures up a vision of what they fear the most and imagines it transformed in the most ridiculous way. One boy, there was a big spider, and he put boots on it and made it dance. And this makes the fear less potent. As Dr. Seuss says, imagination enables you to laugh at life's realities. It can also turn the world around. So let's sing, Turn the World Around.
So is life. Oh, so is like a bunny wah. Ha! So is my whoa. So is my bunny wah. Ha! So is my
world and imagine, let the Spirit fill you and do as it tells you to do. We will now, the front will face the back and the back will face the front, and we will sing Carry the Flame.
Carry the flame of peace and